I'm going to peek and see if we got anybody in the parking lot. All right, how we doing tonight? Good to see you all. Glad to be back with you. My oldest kids are down in the gym, so if you have ones that want to play, run around or whatever else, they're free to go down there. Babies can stay in here with us, of course, like always. But other than that, my semi-responsible crew is in the gym. So anybody that would like to go down there with them can. Anybody that would like to stay in here can with us. You leaving, Chris? Insulted me this morning. Now you're walking out. All right, I see where we're at. The lines are being drawn. Good to have you all. I told everyone, right before we left, we were talking about the idea of having a revival, something like that. Leadership team was talking about it. And what we landed on, what we started with, was prayer. Something that we don't need anyone else to come inside to teach us how to do. The Word of God has done that. What we need to be doing is practicing it. And then sometime in late winter, early spring, we will probably try to do some kind of more usual style revival, maybe bringing someone to preach for a couple days and do something like that. But in the midst of what I felt like our church was going through, in the midst of so many decisions that are big, and there's money involved, and there's other things involved, there's building and roof, and we got a lot of moving parts right now. I just felt like we needed God's peace just to kind of be helpful in the whatever's next, whatever that transition is. Everyone here is usually here, so when you look around on a Sunday morning, we see a lot of faces that are loosely attached. We see almost new faces every Sunday, which is kind of a wild thing to partake in. You know, people are searching and they're looking, and we want to be doing what it is we are supposed to do for whatever's next. I don't believe necessarily the size of a church makes it good or bad. But we do want to be able to facilitate whatever God wants to do next in our body. We are about maxed out with the people that we have in this situation. But the next situation is either a step of faith or a step of serious commitment. And it's a lot of things that need to go into that. So we need to be at peace with whatever God is calling us to do. I would rather have one will instead of 100. Business meetings and stuff like that, as we're navigating forward, we got opinions, we got things coming up. My thought is we need the Holy Spirit just to intervene, because all of them hold with them downsides. You do two services, well, then you double the workload for everybody. You create two churches for a short term. We go back down to the gym like we did during COVID, where we can easily seat 200, 225 on a Sunday morning, but it's an hour, worth of work before and after church, sitting up, tearing down, and doing those things. It also messes with everything that we've tried to do with the music and the other things that have gone on. All that stuff gets tinkered with because we're back down in the gym. So there's just a lot of things that we're trying to navigate through. And my heart says we need some supernatural help. That if God says build, we build, and we look at a half a million or $1 million as what he's going to provide. If he says two churches or two services for a short time, that's not my heart for a long period of time. But if he says that, then we're willing to bite the bullet long enough to figure out what we need to do. Okay, so we got some things brewing that just need some extra attention. So my heart was, let's start with prayer. Let's start with relearning what it is that when Jesus said, my house will be called a house of, it's not a house of preaching, it's not a house of music, it's not a house of comfort, it's not a house of fellowship, it's not a house of discipleship, it's a house of prayer. Meaning you and I are seeking him in all the things that we do. So that's why we're in the middle of this for the next couple of days, walking into the next business meeting and then getting ready for 2026. Can I pray with you this morning or this evening? Lord, we love you. We thank you and we praise you for today. We thank you for your grace and your goodness. God, we need you. Our hearts need you. As we sit here and we sit inside this building and the building of Heritage and 50 years of history and so many other things, God, looking toward the future, learning from the past. God, we do so knowing that that is just one piece of this whole situation. There are prayer requests and heavy hearts here, God, that need your attention. And Lord, we need to be retaught how to pray. We need to be people of, Lord, steadiness and security. We need to know how to deal with the quiet. We need to seek it out at times so we can hear from you. We need to see the story of Jesus and the life of Jesus not as something odd or peculiar in history. We need to see it as the blueprint for what our life should look like. That as the workload, as the frustrations get bigger, as the needs get bigger, we are seeking you more, not seeking you less. And help us, God, train our hearts, train mine, Lord, that we are not going to be able to outwork you, that seeking you, honoring you by setting aside our time is the real war that we're living through. And God, everything else that takes us away from that, there are going to be things in your will that take us away from that so we can do what it is that you've called us to do, all the while the undercurrent of paying attention and having our hearts linked to yours. But God, more than ever, we need to be people that seek out just the solitary pieces of getting alone with you and getting quiet with you. Our hearts need it. Our minds need it. Our futures need it. And so I pray that you would bring that over our church. God, make us a house of prayer. And God, before we close this opening prayer to you, I just want to thank you for all the answers to prayer that you have provided us in the last couple years. Lord, we have made small steps in this, seeking out opportunities to pray with people, and you have blessed, you have honored those requests on so many occasions. So I pray that our hearts would remember those moments, that as we look forward, we would long to pray, long to spend time with you, not because it's the right thing to do or not because it's just something we ought to do, but because we start to expect you to move. And God, what an amazing expectation that is. So Lord, help us to look forward to the adventure of loving you and honoring you and serving you together. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to go into some scripture here, and I'm going to, the first night, we're just going to talk about the purpose of prayer. What is the purpose of prayer? And I got a couple passages for you. And when my mind, when I started this process, you know, like you all know my heart, I don't do a very good job of shielding it. I'm worried about where we're going. Worried is a weird word, but looking forward into the future of America, I feel like it's going to look different than it did for me when I was growing up. My children are going to see something different. Your children are going to see something different than I did. I'm 44, getting ready to be 45. This is a completely different world in just two and a half decades. A lot of things have changed. If you go back 30 or 40 years, you will see significant changes. Because of that, we need to be running, pushing toward a life of prayer, not away from it. And yet everything about our modern culture, everything that we are partaking in religiously, if you'll use it that way, ritually, daily in this culture is pulling us away from prayer. Why? Because there is a lot of chaos, movement, noise, all of these things. They're fighting for your attention. They're fighting for your time. And so we need to see what's happening. We need to be able to diagnose it, and then we need to push back into biblical principles that allow us, no matter the circumstances, to navigate properly forward. Okay, so what we're talking about, no matter what changes tomorrow or the next decade, 2030, 2035, 2040, if we're still here and Jesus hasn't come, no matter what changes take place between then and now, we're ready for them because the book doesn't change. The prescription for the life you and I should be living does not change, no matter what. The early apostles, Jesus' life still fit today. All of those things still work today, even though there is nothing, there is no similarity between the life we're living and the life that they lived. So we need to be mindful of that. We need to come back to first principles, okay? Prayer being one of those, not just for the church, but for individuals. So before we start reading the scripture, I just want to ask, and I've asked the elders, I've given them a picture of everything they're going to be talking about in the next couple of days. I wanted to ask, what are some practical things? Let's just start here. Some practical things that you're using that are increasing your prayer time, that is making your prayer life better. If you want to share that, I want to hear it, okay? Or I can start reading and we can come back to that question and you all can think about two things at once, the passage that we're in and what's going on. I've got in the back a schedule. You can tell I don't know how to use any computer programs at all because it's four pages of Excel worksheet taped together like when Excel first came out and everybody thought it was awesome. I still do it that way. So I've got a nice big, and it's labeled from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. There's slots back there. I know I don't want to contradict what Jesus has to say about anything, all right? When you pray, go to your closet, make sure it's private, nobody knows, pray in secret, God answers, I understand that. When you fast, don't tell everybody. Well, okay, butchered that this morning. But what I want to do is I want to build in the accountability, okay? So it's a habit, not that you're looking at someone and lifting them up and honoring them. No, there's accountability there. So if you want to log some time, I mean, there's a spot there for your name. It starts right after this service, and it goes until we eat on Wednesday. And it's just like, if you want to write your name down, okay, that this is the half hour, this is the hour, you could pick one every day, you can pick as many as you want. But if you want to do that, that's what I'm thinking that's going to be helpful in stepping us forward in this, is just accountability. If you want to write on the bottom or the back of that sheet, or you want to text me privately and say, hey, I'm fasting one day this week, okay? I'm going to do 24 hours. I'm going to do 18 hours. It doesn't matter. I've already had one message saying they were going to fast from something else, which I'm fine with. Fast from social media. Fast from entertainment. Fast from Facebook. Take something that is important to you and take that time and give it to the Lord and seek His face. Okay? So if you want to do those things, that's what I'm thinking. Practical things that are going to help us navigate forward and become people of prayer. So if you've got something else that you're doing, something else that you're using that's helpful, I would like for you to share that tonight before we leave, okay? Just some ways that we can operate and maybe build some habits that we don't necessarily have, okay? I've looked for years at drive time as something that was almost double-edged sword. Like, I can do two things at once here, right? You can listen to some music and you can praise God and you can do those things. All that's wonderful. You can listen to a book. You can listen to the Bible. Or you can turn everything off and you can pray out loud to the Lord as you drive, right? That's one of the ways you could do. We've always talked about you can get up a little bit early, right? 15 minutes early, 20 minutes early. Start your day. Go to bed a little later. Put the kids down. Find a private spot and pray, okay? I would rather us know these habits too before we have to know them, right? There's one thing to learn how to pray. It's another thing to have to in a crash course, all right? And I will tell you this, all of our crash course is coming. Everybody, you're going to have one. You're going to have two. You're going to have 10 in your life. When the only thing left to do is to cry out to God. And He is going to be there. But it would be nice to build those habits before that happens. Okay? Just as a practical piece, because when that moment happens, if your prayer life is good, it's not going to sting, hurt, or knock you off balance quite as hard as it's going to if you and I are just kind of living our life. Okay, so as a moment of protecting a future you, it would be smart for us to learn how to pray, all right? And then the idea of even Jesus' life, you and I can see what happens on repeat in the Gospels. What does Jesus do? He gets alone to what? Pray. Now, can you imagine the weight of the ministry that He was doing, right? I'm too busy to pray. Like, that's the most dangerous sentence we can utter. You're too busy not to pray. Right? If you got a lot of things going on in your life, we got a lot of families with a lot of kids, we got a lot of people that bear a lot of responsibility, we got things going on in your life that are hard and heavy and frustrating, you're too busy not to pray. Seek it out. Find the time. Take a walk. Talk to the Lord. Do it in the car. Right? So we find times to do things that we deem important. And that's the bottom line. We find time to eat every day. We find time to put gas in the car. We find time to go to work. We find time to do the other stuff that has to get done, right? So we need to make time to seek God and to honor Him. and to take care of not only ourselves, but everybody is blessed when you and I are praying properly. When we are leaning into our relationship with the Lord like that, everybody else in our circle is blessed. So tonight is the purpose of prayer. I'll give you all a little bit of time, unless somebody wants to share something right now. I'll give you a little bit of time, and we'll come back to that if you're doing something that you really enjoy. I thought about even, Stephen, like technical stuff. Like, is there a, they build programs for all kinds of stuff, but is there an app? Is there something on our app that we could use where you could set up something like this? Maybe in the future we look at something like that. But I was just kind of kicking that around about all the tools that are available. I don't even know them all because I'm so far outside of that world. But if you got something else, I want to hear it in a little bit before we break for some small groups in prayer, okay? Go with Luke. Go to Luke chapter 11 with me. Luke chapter 11, verses 5-13. And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' Is this an urgent thing or a frivolous thing in this culture?" It's urgent. Why? Because their whole culture is built around honor, taking care of someone, providing their needs, doing all these things. Stranger or friend alike, like there's a lot riding on this moment. If you think about Jesus turning the water into wine at the first miracle, part of what was happening there was they were running out of wine, and it was going to be a shame on that family forever. People were never going to forget about the doofuses that couldn't even run a wedding celebration. They ran out of wine. How silly is that? Okay, so there's a lot of honor, there's a lot of taking care of people in this culture, so this is an urgent request. The neighbor shows up at midnight when the person is asleep, everyone's asleep, and he gets out on a limb. He makes himself a fool, or he asks a big request, not because it's frivolous, but because it's urgent. They've just got here, they're starving, they're hungry, I need to care for them, and man, I don't have it. Let me go to my neighbor and let me ask, okay? So you got to understand that to get the gist of this parable. "For a friend of mine has arrived on the journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' Verse 8, 'I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So this passage, I hope it makes a little more sense to you in this passage coming from this morning's sermon. Jesus uses extremes to teach lessons. He goes to extreme. It's a very Jewish rabbi thing to do. He goes to this extreme of the neighbor and the impudence and the push and the need and even the answer of, "I'm not going to give you anything." He goes there to bring them back into how they interact with God in prayer. How God interacts with us in prayer. How the Father interacts with us in prayer. So if Jesus says, even if a sleepy, frustrated neighbor will give in, and then he brings that back to, well, if a human father can do this and do this and doesn't do this, how much more will your heavenly Father do this and this and this? Okay? So when you're reading through the Gospels and you see those things, we like to read almost everything as literal. It's like, well, this is literally like this. Well, it's hyperbole to come back to a point. So the point is, if a neighbor that's not related to you can be bugged into giving you what you need, and an earthly father doesn't give horrible gifts to their children, how much more will the heavenly Father pour out on those that seek, ask, knock, don't quit, don't give up? So in this moment, what I saw as I was working through this in the purpose of prayer, I saw peacetime. This is peacetime prayer. Okay, it's urgent, but it's peacetime. And what's God doing with these moments in your life when everything's just kind of calm and we're praying, and sometimes maybe it feels dry. Maybe it feels like you've not had something answered in a while. Maybe it feels like you're struggling to go through it. What is the Lord teaching us there? Well, number one, he's teaching us obedience. so much of the Christian life doesn't happen right now. It doesn't happen right now. Your ministry, your witnessing, your praying, your sowing seed, it doesn't happen right now. It doesn't happen right now. Well, why even keep going? Like a father that's tired of arguing with his child, because I said so. Okay? So sometimes in our prayer life, what the Lord is teaching us is just obedience. Do it. How many times have you looked at a kid, no matter their age? I've got one that's now 16, getting ready to drive and haul. Even that one, much less the five-year-old that's running around. How much more do I see in life when they're asking me questions or asking for things that I know more about it than they do? No, we can't do that. Yes, we can do that. We're not going to do that. Well, why? Well, why? Well, why? Just stop. No. Because I said so. Right? Don't have time to go through it. Don't need to go through it. You need to trust me. And so part of what we're learning in peacetime prayer is obedience. God says to do it. At a bare minimum, spending that time with him is vital. It's vital to soul, to communication, right? As you and I talk more to him, we get to hear him talk more to us. Like, we understand what his will is better when you and I are talking to him in prayer. You and I start to navigate. We start to hear the Holy Spirit. And we say these words. They're human words. But you understand what I'm saying. God tells you to do something, tells you to go, tells you to speak, tells you, he urges you to do these things. When your prayer life will dictate how much of those signals you hear, because you want to hear them. Right? You and I don't pray because we don't want to hear from God. We pray because we want to speak to him, and we want him to speak to us. Okay? So even your Bible reading time opens up and expands as you and I fervently pray for God's will. The Holy Spirit starts to open things up for us in deeper, deeper manners. Number two, there's repetition. What is he teaching us in peacetime prayer? The repetition of doing things, just like I told you a little bit ago. Your moment of needing it is going to come. Would you rather know a skill or have a skill prior to needing it and be proficient at it, or would you rather learn it on the fly in a disaster? Okay? I mean, some of the guys that work in emergency services or have in the past, you understand what that's like. You show up somewhere, you are required to know about 1,500 different things, and you better be able to do them well, because your life, your partner's life, or somebody in that house might depend on it. Learning it on the fly is not a good way to learn. So in peacetime prayer, God is teaching us repetition. Build this into your life on repeat. Like air, like water, like food, like these things that have to come on repeat. Prayer is one of those things. So God is teaching us repetition. The third thing in peacetime prayer he is teaching us is perseverance. Okay? It is perseverance. Are you going to quit? Are you going to allow the enemy to discourage you because you walked in and you were standing, you were sitting, you were driving, you got down on a knee, you may have been even crying, and when you prayed, the world wasn't changed, the earth didn't move, and everything didn't line up and just allow you to walk through? And God would say, are you going to quit? Okay? Certain things in his plan for you and I, we have no clue what's going to happen. Remember the Apostle Paul, he said, I prayed three times for the thorn in the flesh to go. And finally God said, my grace is sufficient. And Paul didn't pray for it to go away again. Okay? What that is, we don't necessarily know. Some people will theorize it was his eyesight. He couldn't see. And that made ministry and travel and everything else really hard. If you couldn't see, what would he have immediately had to have constantly? Which he always did in his travels. A buddy. Somebody would have to be willing to go with you constantly to help take care. So if that is his need and that's what's going on, and maybe it stemmed from when Jesus blinded him and he got some of his eyesight back, but never all of it, who knows? We don't know. But what we do know is he prayed for something to be taken so that if anybody had the best possible intentions for his prayer, we would say it was the Apostle Paul. And he would say, I prayed, God said no. I prayed again, God said no. I prayed again, God said no. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you, so I stopped. Okay, then let's move forward. I trust what the Lord has for me after I have begged and pleaded and there is no peace. Or there is a peace that it's not going the way. Okay, Lord, your will be done. Who else prayed that way? Jesus. Yep, Jesus. I mean, the myriad of opportunities, the myriad of scenarios that could have played out. And he comes in to the Heavenly Father. He is on the verge of dying on the cross, being beaten, being stripped, beard plucked. Like, my mind goes over these things frequently right now, especially every time I shave, because I'm too cheap to use new razors, and I start plucking out hair instead of actually shaving it. And I think constantly, man, my Savior willfully lined up to have his beard and hair pulled out. Right? Of all the scenarios to play out, he goes into the Father and says, if there's any other way, let this cup pass. Anything else. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Okay? So even Jesus is leaning into that. Years and years of praying and loving God the Father and being in complete fellowship with him, never having it broken because he never sinned. And yet in that moment, he still has to yield to the plan. Okay? So if Jesus and Paul and others are yielding to the plan, you and I need to understand that there are times when that's just going to be it, and we have to be at peace, okay? That God is going to work and do something far beyond our imagination. So in times of peace, the Lord is teaching you access, repeated, obedient, perseverant access. You can come to the throne of God whenever you want. As a son or a daughter, you may walk in at will. And Hebrews would say, not come in sheepishly, but come in what?
Boldly
into the throne room. James would say, ask with faith for the things that you need, for the things that God has promised. Right? Might not be the 68 Camaro Supersport, right, that you would really like to have, right? Might not be this, might not be that job. If there were a younger crowd in here, I would say it might not be that spouse that you think you want, that boyfriend, that girlfriend you think you want. It might be a no on all of those things. But when I am praying for peace and strength and courage and wisdom, grace, forgiveness, when I am praying for the things that God promises on repeat, they are accessible right then. And then the earthly things that you and I pray for all the time, he either gives us the strength to endure them, the peace to endure them, or he starts to change them. We just don't know which one it's going to be. You remember God answers our prayers, yes, no, and wait, not now, right? We used to say maybe, but I don't really think there's a maybe. There's a yes, there's a no, and there's a not now, right? So it's either going to bless us and honor him, or it's never going to do that, or it's not going to do it in this moment. That's how the answer is yes, no, or not now, okay? Because if he's going to answer my prayers, and it's him answering them and not me finagling an answer, then they're going to honor him. They're going to bless me, and they're going to be an encouragement and help to my family and my community. Does that make sense? That's the only kind of prayers that he answers with yes. If they get answered, maybe I manipulated, right? Maybe the enemy gave me what I wanted. You understand? That's how we know what the fruit is when we get our prayers answered. Does it glorify God? Does it bless me and make me more like Christ? And does it benefit those around me? Okay? And if it does those things, we know that was from the hand of God. So that's peacetime. We get to the point where the Lord is answering our prayers, and we need to trust what the answer is. Yes, no, not now. Okay? And whatever the situation is that you're in, it may be harder to deal with that than others. I prayed for this, and God said no. Okay, we get up and move on. I'm struggling with this. I'm in the middle of a mess. This is really hard. I wish I wasn't in it. And I prayed, and God said, stay. Okay? God said, keep going. God said, don't quit. God looked at you like he did at Paul and says, my grace is sufficient. Do the right thing on repeat. That's a lot harder to deal with. Okay? Then you get what you want. But when he answers like that, we need to be mindful and ready to deal with whatever's coming. And how do we do that? Because we trust his heart and we trust his will. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5 with me. His will. Will. My brain is skipping. I don't know what's wrong. I think the sunburn at the beach got into my brain. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5 with me. I told you my mind went to wartime. Thinking about this, where we're going to start. We're going to start in the war because that's where you and I are living. All right, you got one raging inside of you every day, and unfortunately, unlike the 30s or the 40s or the 50s or the 60s or whenever we look back and think just the country was just as good as it could be, unfortunately, when you and I look out every day, what we see is chaos and craziness. So internally, I'm dealing with it. And then when you flip on the TV, you're dealing with it, or social media, you're dealing with it, or you pick up the phone and you answer that next phone call and somebody else is in the middle of something. These are all wartime issues. So the second piece that I wanted to share with you tonight is simply this. The purpose of prayer in wartime is to teach us to move. In wartime, you and I are going to be communicating with the Lord for direction, for advancement, and for encouragement. Can you imagine being behind enemy lines? And the only access you have to people that are on your team is through radio communication. It's you and your group. And maybe that group has dwindled. And maybe you've been in a mess. And now there's just one or two or three of you left. How encouraging would it be to pick up that radio and still have that person there that can make communication with base? We need help. What's going on? Are we winning? Are we losing? This is where we're at. This is who we've lost. We got lost from the group. You know, huh? We need more artillery. Yeah, not here, over there. It's nowhere near the same, but when we're training at work or we're doing calls at work, we do dive training at work. And you jump in the Kanawha River and you drop down about 4 feet and you can see like to here and you get to 15 or 20 feet and you can see right here. And the only thing you really see is like fish hooks and broken glass and shopping buggies and all kinds of stuff. A couple years ago, they come in with a new kind of equipment. So this kind of equipment, your hose, your air hose is on top. All your life is on top. Now, you got a little pony bottle to get out of there if anything goes wrong. But instead of carrying one 20-minute bottle on your back and when it's out, you're in trouble, it's now you're attached to the top. And as long as you trust the people at the top, they can switch your air bottles out if they want to. You better be real nice to them. But you have basically an infinite supply, okay? It also brought with it in one cord communication. So now you're underwater. You can't see nothing. And I don't care what anybody says. Nobody's that comfortable in the dark. You don't know which way's up or down. And you're like this. And now in your ear can be the biggest idiot on top, but somebody's there talking, right? Am I okay? Am I still living? Yeah, I'm fine. All right, just keep going. You're fine. Go left. Right? Turn, swim. The moment that brought in, there was a peace level like you wouldn't believe. And you're just 20 or 30 feet away. It's like, yeah, it's a connection. Like, bro, inflate your BC and go to the top. You're fine. Stop freaking out. But just having that was enough to create a calm to keep doing and do what needed to be done. So there's a real power in communication. And I believe it's in Ephesians chapter 5. 6, I lied to you all. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, and we're going to read a long time before we get to prayer. Are you ready? Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. You say, how do we get prayer out of the whole armor of God? Well, keep going. That you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given to you by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one, and take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Not a word about prayer yet. Okay? Now, this is the piece that struck me a couple years ago. Because every war needs communication. So if you're all dressed for battle and you can't communicate with headquarters, with who's in charge, you ever heard the stories about those that didn't know World War II was over? What was the longest a person had lived in the wilderness? 20 years, 30 years? How do you get that lost when the war has been over? You have no communication.
Well, and this ties into faithfulness to your commission. And you think about if we operated with Jesus the way that Japanese soldier did, because when they dropped him on that island, they said, you stay here and you cause all the damage you can behind enemy lines. And he said, the only way I'm coming out is if my commanding officer
Yeah.
And that's why he said, okay, I'm coming out now. You said it's okay.
Yep, that's right. And look at the next verse. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says, prepare for war. This is your battle gear. Protect your head, protect your heart. Having it all wrapped around, like the war on truth is so important. Why? Because the breastplate of righteousness flops if the belt of truth isn't attached, right? So I get exposed. My organs get exposed. These tender spots get exposed. I end up failing. I end up getting hurt. That belt of truth is of utmost importance. So he goes through this list, right? And why do we go? Why do we move? Why do we run? Why do we move our lives? Why? Because the gospel, it's what's on our feet. It's what compels us to go, okay? And in the midst of all that, he says, pray at all times. Why? Because if you're in war, you need the communication. You need the encouragement. You need to know when to go. You need to know where to advance. You need direction on what you are supposed to be doing, who you are supposed to be speaking to, who you are supposed to be avoiding, what areas you are supposed to be running from. These are things that are accessible only in prayer. As God takes our prayer life and uses the Word of God to keep that stuff steered together, to bring it together within those guardrails, you and I can walk assuredly, firmly, certainly, anywhere we want to go. But it comes from this. When you move this one degree, if I said talking to my spouse was a chore, how would you think our marriage was? Huh? Say, what do y'all do? Oh, man, we communicate a good 5-10 minutes a week. I mean, you're in trouble. Okay? How many Christians, how many in here would be comfortable writing down the amount of time they spend speaking with God on a piece of paper and reading it out loud? Not me. Right? Now, a portion of that has to be set aside. Solitary, quiet, intimate. But there are other things. Pray without ceasing can't be done in your prayer closet. It has to be done. And that's been this week for me, being reminded of that, the constant need of, whether it's preaching or teaching or driving, right? Lord, we need your help. Got a check engine light on my vehicle from Florida. Huh? I know what it is. It's been there forever. I'm waiting for it to burn out. It'd be really nice if it did. That is the only light that never burns out, is the check engine light. They made it out of an LED, and it's got a diode, and it runs itself. It's solar powered. I don't know, but it's the only one that don't burn out. But it's stuff like that. Like, I'm thinking about this prayer thing coming. I'm thinking about my own insufficiencies, my own inadequacies. And the first part that starts to work on my soul is the constant need of prayer, even in the chaotic, noisy moments. Now it's time to start building the discipline of the quiet moments, seeking them out and making it so. Okay? And we'll talk about the other things of prayer, the plan of prayer and the power of prayer. The plan of prayer will be tomorrow. We'll look at what it looks like. What does Jesus tell us it looks like? And then we'll look at the power of prayer on Tuesday, which what is going to happen out of our life when you and I start to interact properly with the Lord. That being said, I'm going to open it up now for anyone else that would like to share either a habit you are using that has been helpful, or maybe you would like to share something about the two passages that kind of fit tonight that you would like to share with the group. Then we're going to split up. I think we're going to split up in about groups of five here in a couple minutes, and we're just going to pray together in a group. The other piece of this is, you all think about what you would like to share. I will be posting on Facebook a generic church-wide prayer request, and if you feel like it, I want you to add any personal to that thread. Because when somebody's doing their prayer time back here, most of us have Facebook. If not, we can screenshot and send it to them, whatever. But if they're doing their prayer time back there and they want a refresher of what those requests are, I would like for them to be able to see them. So I will post the leadership ones, the generic ones for the church, what we're trying to do, what we want to see, what we need help with. I will post those tonight when I get back to work. Below that thread, you post anything that you would like to personally, okay? I know of some prayer requests. I just don't want to post them publicly, just in case somebody shared them with me in secrecy, okay? So that's going to be the plan on that end. So if you're taking that half hour and you want to look at what we're asking for, or you know some prayer requests for some people in the church, you'll have access to that immediately, okay? To scroll through that. Would anybody like to share anything? Go ahead, Linda. Prayer list. Easy and old school, isn't it? Just be able to look at it. It's accessible anywhere. Mark them off as you go. Write the and share the praises. Like, I know we're getting good at sharing requests. Start sharing the praises too. Follow up with the people that you've asked to pray for you. Hey, the Lord answered that prayer. It may not be the biggest answer that you wanted, but Tim has been a real encouragement with this, him and Lisa, over the last couple years of, you've been praying for me, and let me fill you in on what's happened. I'm not done, and this isn't over yet, and I'm still working through it, but dude, this happened this week in the doctor's office, or this happened this week walking around the neighborhood. Like, this happened. The Lord is answering your prayers for strength, courage, and wisdom, and peace. I'm just not at the finish line yet, but he's doing it. So those are wonderful reminders that it's working, that it's helpful. Tim? Love that. Yeah, love it. So one of the habits I've gotten into over the years is somebody asks me to pray for them, we do it right there. It's just the fastest. That being said, sometimes I will forget that, which is the follow-up. So write it down, like Linda said. Text yourself on your phone, whatever it is, however you communicate with yourself. Write it down, put it in your Bible, put it in a notebook, whatever. A journal. Journaling is a great way. Like, you want to take up some time in prayer, write your prayers out. I've done that before. Super helpful. Write your prayers out. It's like, it'll turn. Because what happens is, as you're focusing on what you're doing, there's a repeat going on, because it takes more time to write it than it does to say it. So now I'm dwelling in that prayer, as opposed to, Lord, thank you for today. Help me. Oh, give me some grace. Give me some mercy. Give me some wisdom. No, if I'm writing it out, Lord, I need you. I'm dwelling in that, okay? So that's a good way to do it. Alice, and then. Amen.
My dad's going back to the list part. My dad's almost 82 years old. And my dad has this notebook that he carries around, and he has
Mm-hmm.
And he said sometimes when he gets discouraged, he goes back.
Oh, man. Yep.
And it's a reminder of all the prayers that the Lord has answered, and for not to give up on praying for the things that haven't been answered yet. Yeah. And that really spoke to me the
other
day. Oh,
man.
He said that.
Amen. Already done.
And we have to be reminded.
Amen.
That was an encouragement to me.
That book is an Ebenezer.
That's what I was going to recommend. I got a stack of rocks out of my wall.
Yeah.
Anytime you look out back, you see a pile of rocks. Here comes a dog, brings a new one.
Angie. You really toned down the word hate. Yeah, imprecatory psalms comes up. What are you doing as a as a consequence of a prayer like that? You're following another command that the Lord has given, which sometimes you can only do at a distance, which is what to your neighbor? Hate them? Despise them? He said love them. Sometimes the only way to love somebody that is cold or ruthless or evil or unsafe is to do it at a distance through prayer. So you're even honoring one of the Lord's other callings in that by doing it that way. There's nothing you and I can do better for someone than to pray for them. As much as we would like to be helpful in the things that go on in their life, as much as we would like to answer their prayers, there is nothing in our condition we can do better for someone than to pray for them. We're praying for the God of the universe that loves them to work within them and do what needs to be done. Okay? And you're giving your time to do it. It's a beautiful exchange. Any others? That's awesome. Very good.
I have an app that gives me a Bible verse every day because I'm not good at reading. I hate to read. But it sends me a Bible verse at a certain time every day, and I start reading the Bible verse and I say a prayer.
It's a good trigger.
And when I'm in the car, though, if I'm in my car alone, I've either got the praise music going or I'm praying in my car.
Yep.
I don't have, there's too much chaos at the house.
Yep. Don't kill yourself with habits. Don't read about the heroes of the faith and expect tomorrow to wake up and to be able to implement those in your life. Okay? Some of the people that you and I have been told to shoot toward, to get close to be like, would swamp us with their spiritual life. Okay? So if you're ingesting those biographies or you enjoy that, make sure you don't bog yourself down. What is the phrase? Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good, right? Something like that. Don't striving for this. Remember, it's a climb. So get here and then get there and then get there, okay? So don't, or your grandparents or your dad, we look at mountains like that and we think, that's never going to be me. So the devil uses that to make sure we never make any progress. Okay? So just start, set a goal that's attainable and do it. And then all of a sudden, even with the phone going off and being able to be reminded every day, okay, I need to. And then like she said, your body starts to grab that routine and take it even further. All right? We love being weird. Yeah. You're in Starbucks praying out loud. Just do what you got to do. Stand up, walk around like Jericho. Huh?
I do have a praise. People have been praying for my brother Sean. He had Hodgkin's lymphoma, and he had a PET scan two months prior to that. And he's clean.
Amen. Wow. Amen.
Good.
Yep. Yep. Pray without ceasing. That's what that looks like. Okay?
There are two things that Satan has, I guess, beat me up with. 30 plus years, but inadequate in comparison.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned from other Christians that those are strong tools.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they can really do a lot of damage if you allow them to.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Or to not be that adequate.
Yeah.
So, and I have to tell you, to set aside a specific prayer time, no. When I am closest to God is when you send me a text and I say, oh, Lord, he needs you now.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray. Or I'm doing dishes because nobody's there helping me with the dishes.
Just you and the Holy Spirit, Gina, doing them dishes.
That's my alone time.
Yep. Absolutely.
To me, through a text, a phone call, a thought, and I quit comparing my prayer life to others because
yep.
My prayer life is what God has given me.
Yes.
And he knows, and he lets me know when I can be effective and when I'm just going through the motions.
Mm-hmm.
Why do that? Why do that?
Yep. Yep. The only thing we want to try to build in is just the confirmation and the time. And it doesn't matter if it's split up or it's all in one or whatever, right? We're just looking for that time. And again, we make it weird because we don't treat it like other relationships. If we treated this like other relationships, we would know there's deficiencies and we would know it a lot faster because you've experienced them before in other relationships, right? So don't over-spiritualize what is going on in your prayer life. Bring it down to where you're at. And then honor God with what he's given you, okay? Some of you are in a time, in a season right now where quiet time is really hard to come by. Get up a little early. Get yourself a little time there. You got kids and stuff like that. Manipulate that around. Put them down for a mandatory nap. Do what you got to do. It's one of the only times I'll let you use the TV as a babysitter, but slide in the other room. Let them watch a little something for 20 minutes and get your prayer time in, okay? And the other real conviction is we got a lot of kids around here. We need to be teaching them this, and I am not doing that as well as I should be right now, so that's a conviction on mine. But we've got people watching, right? So we need to learn these habits so that they, even if they're older, at least they'll see the change, okay? So we need to be working through that with children and grandchildren. Take the weirdness out of it, okay? This is a relationship with the God of the universe, and we treat it differently. They see me love their mommy. They see me love my parents. They see me love my church, okay? I need to make sure that they understand that loving the Lord looks a lot like the same thing, okay? It's time and access and commitment, all right? See, it's a couple minutes till 7. Let's break up. Go ahead. The Newhouse family, be praying for them tonight.
Kenneth Newhouse.
His name's Donnie Newhouse, Brian Newhouse.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mount Pleasant people, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
But I saw that this morning that his wife posted that he was stable when they were keeping him intubated to, I guess, give his body time to rest, and they're watching his brain bleed, but it was pretty bad.
Okay. All right. Tim? Tim's buddy was texting about the same person. Okay, so that was not Tim's buddy. Okay. Okay. All right. Need to pray for the Newhouse family tonight. All right. Yep. Yeah. People forgot to tell you or forgot to warn you what it was like to watch your parents age. That's a grief that there aren't many like it.
Becomes so really hard when the child becomes the parent.
Yep.
The parent becomes the child. It's really hard.
Yep.
Mandy Bailey texted me the other day, and my only response to her was, "It's just hard to watch the people you love wither away."
Miss Gina, you had a question?
You were talking about posting everything on Facebook, and I have.
I'll screenshot it to you.
Yeah, I'm out there. I'm in prison.
Yeah. Miss Gina's been kicked off the line. She was obviously scamming, scammer, hacker.
Anyway, I've heard it several times today. We'll post on Facebook. You can see that on Facebook, and I thought they're up here, believe it or not,
yep.
Who aren't on Facebook.
I'll send you a copy of it. Easy fix. Easy fix. I told her she got to change it to Jenna Lipscomb. She can just change it all. All right, let's, so I'm looking around. We're in a pretty safe place tonight, but one of the things about prayer, one of the things about time like that is you can't betray that confidence, okay? If you do, you have to have a talking to with the pastor and probably another elder with me, all right? So when you are shared stuff in confidence, we keep that in confidence. And we pray for that, and we deal with that appropriately. A Sunday morning crowd, I would have more of an issue with this, but tonight I think we're good with everyone that's here. This is a very safe place to be. You all are only be here because you want what the Lord has to offer. So in all of that, I say we break up and just take your time with whoever you're with, and the next little bit is yours. But let's go maybe groups of 6 to 8. If possible, and we can find different spots, go to another room, turn the light on, sit down, whatever you got to do. I don't know how, I almost want to count it off like the kids, or just kind of group people side to side with where you're at, but I know it's awkward, but let's just get it done. It's just a number in a group, and I trust you all that you're not kindergartners, and we can sort that out, okay?
I have
Yep, Lynn's husband.
He has to be in the hospital at 6.
Okay, yep, so be praying for Cecil tonight, tomorrow, and Tuesday morning.
I was supposed to ask this morning, but I didn't get the text until I had to check.
Okay, all right, I'm going to dismiss you.
And my oldest sister, she's on the prayer list. They want to put 2 defibrillators in her. She's ready to die. She wants to die, but she says she's saved, but she thinks you can get to heaven anyway. And I question her salvation. I mean, she prays the Lord, asks the Lord for his will. There's a lot that looks like she's saved, but when you say there's more than one way to Jesus, that makes me, I mean, I don't care if the Lord takes her home, because she's really bad sick, worse than my dad was. But I want her to be saved. I want to make sure she is right with God.
Amen.
But she's got kids. She's in the 3rd renal failure. Her heart's never going to get better. I mean, she's got like 5 or 6 really bad things wrong with her, and she's ready to die. But, I mean, the only way I'll be ready to let her go is if I know for sure she says all the right things, but when you say everyone will get to heaven on their own, that's
yeah.
So just her salvation, just save her. Her name's just save her.
Name is what? Her name is
Renee.
Maureen. Okay. Be praying for Renee. Okay. All right. If you are moderately uncomfortable praying out loud, I would still like you to try it. Doesn't have to be long. Just get in the habit of praying out loud with some people that you trust. Okay. So that's going to be my challenge to you. Moderately, right, unhappy with it. Right. So it's not just if you're comfortable. Just a couple sentences and just start the habit, okay? You're going to have to learn to pray out loud at times. It needs to happen. And if you get approached by somebody that knows you're a Christian and they want you to pray for them, it'd be nice to crack that ice here and with people that you trust instead of winging it on a whim right then. Or, amen, okay? So, moderately uncomfortable, I would like you to try it. If you're majorly uncomfortable, then maybe we'll break you down with one person that isn't a spouse, and you can try praying like that, okay? But as you break up tonight, they got a couple rooms back there, nursery, it doesn't matter. Just go spend a little time, groups, 6, 8, somewhere in that neighborhood. Can't be too big because you won't be able to kind of get around. But other than that is my request for the evening. Amen? Lord, we love you. It is a privilege to pray. It's not a discipline. It's not a drudgery. Lord, it is access to the God of the universe. It is access to love. It is access to peace and strength. It is access to joy and resources beyond our wildest imagination. It is access to the one that formed us and knit us together in our mother's womb, that saved us, even as sinners. It is the place of peace and strength and complete love and assurance. Help us to long for it more. Like your word, like air, like food, like sweet time with those that we love on this earth. Help us to long for time with you in a palpable way. Make our hearts hurt when it's been too long, God. May we get to the point where we don't need timers or anything else anymore. Lord, may our heart be the timer that it knows, man, we need to run to you. I need to speak to my Father. He has wisdom and he loves me. And he's begging me to come, demanding that I come, and not only come broken, sheepishly bent over, worried, or cowering. He tells me to come in like one of my sons walking into my bedroom to speak to me, youngest to oldest. They need my help. What would I do? And God, you're so much better than me. Oh, we need you tonight. Increase our desire. Increase our will. God, make us stubborn that we won't quit. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's fine. Yeah, we're good right here. We can all hang out together if y'all want. Or you can get up and leave, like Chris. My mic's still on. Huh?